Hello, and welcome to In the LOL. I'm your host, Dr. Sim Taylor. And as always, we want to take a new look at an old book, and that book is the Bible. Over the past few weeks, I've had people ask me questions about God speaking to them and what direction should they go. Well, I am not the person, and no person is the one who can tell you what God is saying to you specifically unless they are a prophet, and a prophet's word comes true. But what I can tell you as a teacher of God's word is that God speaks to us in several ways. So sometimes it might be appearance in person, it might be an audible voice, it might be active involvement, it might be as an ambassador, someone else speaking on behalf of God. It also could be a passage of scripture coming alive to our hearts. It could be working of the Spirit upon the mind. He could speak to us in dreams, visions, or by ministering angels. So God can speak to us in several ways. I want to take the next couple of weeks to look at somebody with a particular prophetic gift and how God spoke to them. And then we want to talk about more in week two about the additional ways that God can speak to us. Look at the life of Moses in the book of Exodus. We will start this week with chapter 4. Now, I know what you're going to say. Well, Exodus and Moses, and he was a prophet, and God, I'm not a prophet. Okay, so the same thing that you're saying, and the same thing that you're saying as far as not being prepared, this is why I chose this scripture, because God speaks to Moses about being prepared to do his work and listening to him. So first, let's read a few verses from Exodus chapter 3, where God, as he's speaking to your heart, he's preparing you with gifts, and he does it so that he can take care of his people, the people that serve him. When we talked about spiritual gifts before, and you can go back to that podcast, it is to serve the people. When God speaks to us, it is to serve the people, to serve the church, to serve so that we may be doing his will. I like to read from the New American Standard Bible. That's one of my favorite versions. And I will read a few verses from Exodus chapter 3, and then we'll go into Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 3, beginning at verse 7.
And the Lord said, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their outcry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite.
Okay, I know what you're saying. That was not my voice. But sometimes those words are hard to pronounce. And so just letting you know, there are tools out there that can read these words to you if you find them hard to pronounce, like I do sometimes. Okay, let's finish with our lesson. So one of the things at the beginning of Exodus chapter 3 is that you notice Moses was working. He was working as the shepherd of the flock. A lot of times we don't understand that God puts us in places to prepare us long before he calls us. So Moses was already familiar with how to move and herd people, just like you can move and herd a flock. You got to use some of those same skills. Not that we're animals, but you got to use skills in order to understand the tasks that you're given. And I think the most important part is that he was working. God will come and find you working where you are, and then he will use you to move you to his will. Next, we see not only did God speak to his people in general, but he speaks to the one in leadership, the one he has given this particular assignment to, this particular gift to. So in Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, he says, therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, well, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring out the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you.
When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. And so Moses continues to have issues with what God is giving him. And then God continues to provide answers. And then God may have gotten a little bit upset with Moses. At the end of chapter 3, God tells Moses how he will prepare for him to go, how he'll make a way even with the administration of Egypt. And Moses still, you know, is not sure if he should be the one called for this duty. So in chapter 4, as Moses protested and he said, "Look, God, they won't believe me. They won't do what I tell them. They'll just say the Lord never appeared to you." And then the Lord said to him, "What do you have there in your hand?" "A shepherd's staff," Moses replied. God said, "Throw it down to the ground," the Lord said to Moses. So Moses threw it down and it became a snake. Moses was terrified. So he turned and ran away. Then the Lord told him, "Take hold of its tail." So Moses reached out and grabbed it and it became a shepherd's staff again. "Perform this sign and they will believe you," the Lord told him. "Then they will realize that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, really has appeared to you." By the way, God says this phrase several times to remind Moses that just as I have done in the past, I can do it again in the future. So in verse 6, the Lord said to Moses, "Put your hand inside your robe." Moses did so. And when he took it out again, his hand was white as snow with leprosy. "Now put your hand back into your robe again," the Lord said, and Moses did. And when he took out his hand this time, it was healthy as the rest of his body. "If they do not believe the first miraculous sign, then we'll believe the second," the Lord said. "And if they do not believe you even after these two signs, then take some water from the Nile River, pour it out on the dry ground. When you do, it will turn into blood." But Moses pleaded with the Lord, "Oh Lord, I'm just not a good speaker. I have never been, and I'm not now. Even after you have spoken to me, I'm clumsy with words." And the Lord got a little upset. He said, "Who makes the mouths? Who makes people so that they can speak or not speak? Hear or not hear? See or not see? It is not I. Is it not I, the Lord?" He says. He says, "Now go and do as I have told you. I will help you speak. And I will tell you what to say." But again, Moses pleaded, "Lord, please send someone else." Now, if I was Moses, I would have been like, "Okay, Lord, I'll do what you say." But no, but God has patience and he loves us. So in verse 14, the Lord became angry with Moses. "All right," he said, "what about your brother Aaron the Levite? He's a good speaker. And look, he's on his way to meet you now. And when he sees you, he will be very glad. You will talk to him, giving him the words to say. I will help both of you to speak clearly, and I will tell you what to do. Aaron will be your spokesman to the people, and you will be as God to him, telling him what to say. And be sure to take your shepherd's staff along so you can perform the miraculous signs I have shown you." Moses had several objections, but God met each objection with an answer and with his power. We've got to know that when God speaks to us, he also equips us. And again, as I showed before, when he found Moses working, he's been equipping you all along. A lot of times we don't reflect on the things that have happened in our lives as preparation, but God knows it's preparation. Sometimes we see unfortunate events that have happened in our lives and we think, oh, it's just something that happened. I'll tell you a personal story. There was one time where I faced something, it was a time of depression, and I was upset that God had not provided the job, position, whatever it was at the time I was upset about. But God had prepared me to work with people. I had always worked with people. I had worked with grants when I was fresh out of college, and I had done jobs to learn customer service, learn how to talk to people, learn how to speak to people, learn how to deal with difficult people when they respond to me unfavorably. And I never saw any of that as preparation, but in the work that I do today, I see all of it as preparation. And so a lot of times it's because we don't see what God has done in our lives. We don't see how the hand of God has worked in our lives. We don't see how God has spoken to us, but he speaks to us continually. We just have to see it and understand it for ourselves. So as we finish looking at this first lesson and we see God speaking to us, appearance in person and also through an audible voice. Now, when we say appearance in person, we didn't talk about the burning bush. Hopefully you will read that instance. But God, remember, he first came to Moses as the burning bush and spoke to him that this is holy ground that he is on. So as God spoke to Moses, he was trying to show him that I've prepared you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to tell you the things you're going to face. He didn't tell him everything, but he told him enough so that Moses understood how to face these first obstacles that he would come to. Sometimes if we give too much information to people, they get even more frightened. And God knows the human heart. And so he knew exactly what to tell them, tell Moses, and how much to tell Moses. And so we also see that as God speaks to us, he equips us. He gives us the things we need. In this case, the objections Moses had is that the people won't believe him. So God allowed miracles to happen as evidence that it was by a supernatural power that Moses was doing the things he was doing and asking the things he was asking. It was not simply in the power of Moses that he came to Pharaoh, but it was in the power of God that he came to Pharaoh. God is willing and more abundantly to show the truth of his word. He doesn't spare what's needed when it comes to giving us confidence to do the job. And so he can give us miracles that agree with the evidence that is actually him speaking and that we are not just moving in our own power. Also, we see that God requires us to follow him in all things. If you go back to chapter 3, you see that Moses asked the permission of his father to go to Egypt. Now, if God is telling you to go to Egypt, that should be enough. But he's following the law of the Israelites. He's following the law. And so the son would ask permission of the father to do certain things. And so as you're working on your job and you're working in ministry, you follow the law, follow procedures, follow policy. God may have given you to say something to the pastor, but you don't just burst into his office and say it. You know, there are ways to convince people with kindness. And so God is not going to just say, do any and everything. He's going to have a way and a will that aligns with what he tells you, but also aligns with what is right. Another incidence of this is we see in chapter 4, it doesn't say why, but it does say that God was very angry with Moses and had set out to kill him. In Exodus chapter 4, verses 24, that now it came about at the lodging place on the way that the Lord met him and sought to put him to death. Then Zipporah took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and threw it at Moses' feet. And she said, you are indeed a bridegroom of blood to me. Again, it is not explained what happened exactly. It could have been that his wife did not want the son of Moses circumcised. Maybe Moses didn't circumcise his son. Whatever it may have been, the policy was that children would be circumcised at a certain age. And it appears that Moses or his wife did not do this. And God was holding Moses responsible because Moses did not complete the task he was supposed to according to the law of the Israelites. So even when God sends you out and he speaks to you, he gives you great power, he shows you miracles, you can make mistakes, you can forget to do something, or you could purposely not do something. God is still going to hold you responsible for that. So let's take a teaching moment. There are many people in ministry that think, oh, God has made me great. I'm high up in ministry, or God has made me great. I can sing really great. And so we make decisions that are in error once we get to these certain positions and places in God. But remember, God will hold you responsible. He may be speaking to you, but he can also speak death to you or death to the situation if you do not follow his will with a humble heart and with submission to his law. Remember, God requires us to follow him in all things. God met with Moses and he sought to kill him. A strict self-examination was omitted, or maybe postponed or neglected. The circumcision of one of his sons, probably the younger one, was not done. To dishonor that sign and seal of the covenant was criminal in any Hebrew, particularly in one destined to be the leader and deliverer of all Hebrews. Concerned with her husband's safety, Zipporah overcomes whatever feelings she may have had, and she performed the rite of circumcision. It indicates that Moses was actually put to a point of not being able to perform this rite, and Zipporah had to perform it. So we see God was ready to carry out this sentence on Moses because of his failure. 1 John 5:16 lets us know that in doing this, God was making Moses face his own incomplete obedience that reflected a lack of faith in God. In this incident, God was bringing Moses to the place that he brought Jacob to when he wrestled with him at Jabbok. That was in Genesis 32. God was getting Moses ready to acknowledge the sovereignty of God. When God gives instruction and power, it does not mean you're allowed to omit some part of the word or hedge this part of the word. His commandment is sure. When God speaks, before he speaks to the greatest situation, he speaks to your life, and your life must be in order to what God has called you to do. So as we see, God chose Moses, and when God chose him, God wanted Moses to know, first of all, I, God, am the one who has the power. God wanted Moses to know that you, Moses, must follow me in everything I tell you to do. Do not omit any part of what I tell you. Do not omit any part of the law. God wanted Moses to know your life is in me and has to be dedicated to me. Not that God was looking for good works only, but for a life in God's image, following the examples of God. And God wanted Moses to have a personal relationship with him, so that when it came time to perform those miracles, Moses could know that the power of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, was the God that was performing miracles through him this very same day.
You have been listening to In the LOL with your host, Dr. Sim Taylor. You can drop us a line at P.O. Box 255, Ripley, Tennessee, 38063. You can also send us an email at inthelightoflife@yahoo.com. You can text us or leave a phone message at 901-529-1067. Until we meet again, be blessed and know that God loves you.